Vermont Community Services District Domestic Wastewater Treatment Facility Reclamation Plan. Ms. Kumyanjin?
Thank you. This is, I know, very important current for the community on many fronts, and our staff worked very hard with the community to get this done. So I'd like to ask Cephas Herr to join us up the podium and give a presentation to the board on this particular permit.
Ladies and gentlemen of the board, my name is Cephas Herr, and today I'm presenting the revised waste discharge requirements for Rosamond Community Services District Domestic Wastewater Treatment Plant located in Kern County.
Sue will help you.
So today I will cover the order provisions, the recycled water regulations, I'll give you an overview of the plant, the pond system upgrades, any other miscellaneous changes, and staff recommendations. Yeah, next slide. So major order provisions include recycled water treatment standards for the tertiary plant, incorporating a time schedule order in the monitoring and reporting program to add additional groundwater monitoring wells, a time schedule order regarding the pond system, to have the pond system meet Title 27 liner standards, or to propose an acceptable engineering alternative. In this diagram, we have the permitting actions necessary to complete this action. So the first permitting action within the dotted line will set recycled water standards for the tertiary treated effluent to allow the district to become a recycled water producer. Outside of the dotted line, we have in a separate action a notice of applicability that would cover the district under the state general order signed by our executive officer. Recycled water administration comes after the district becomes a producer and allows the district to administer the water to any potential users. This would reduce the costs of using water from purchasing water from other suppliers. Division of drinking water recommendations are incorporated into the water board actions as requirements. Engineering reports in the application for the general order are filed with the Division of Drinking Water. Rosamond will also likely be the first enrollee in Region 6 under the new State Board General Order. Here's a figure we have from the Expanded Recycled Water Facilities Planning Study Master Plan Update from GI Consultants. This is the location of the plant. This is Rosamond Dry Lake. The green lines indicate existing infrastructure or pipelines, and the red lines indicate proposed pipelines in the future. Here we have four identified potential users: Golden Queen Mining Company, who could possibly take 100% of the flow coming from their tertiary treated plant, Rosamond High School, West Park Elementary School, and the Western Antelope Valley Groundwater Banking Project. Also, recently, Rosamond has recently indicated to me that along Rosamond Boulevard, they have Rosamond Elementary School and Rosamond Park that could take recycled water quickly because they're located close to the existing pipeline right here. This water can also be used for park, schools, and medians along the roads. This is a slide showing a zoomed-in overview of the site and things in its immediate vicinity. Rosamond Dry Lake is to the east of this site. The site is located within the dotted white line, the property boundaries. The site has 16 ponds that covers about 135 acres with a liner constructed from compacted native soil liner. And it receives between 1 and 1.3 million gallons per day. Flow is bifurcated at the lift station with 0.5 MGD flowing to the tertiary plant, which is on the southern portion of the site, and the remaining 0.5 to 0.8 million gallons per day flowing to the pond system, which is on the northern portion of the site. The tertiary plant has a biolac aeration basin right here, secondary clarifier, ultraviolet disinfection, and sludge drying beds right here. And then the flow that's currently treated that would be used later on for Title 22 reuse is stored in ponds 14, 15, and 17 on the southern portion of the site. The plant currently has four monitoring wells in an L configuration. This is well 3, this is well 2, this is well 1, and this is well 4. Please keep these locations in mind as we talk further on in the presentation. There are no additional drinking water wells within a mile radius in residential areas that are currently being affected. Land use indicates that the plant is the only source in the area as a potential source of nitrate. Historical groundwater quality shows that groundwater did not exceed water quality objectives. However, current groundwater quality does. So on September 14th, 2014, the data shows that for wells 1 through 4, we have high levels of total dissolved solids. And then in well 2, you have it exceeds the maximum contaminant levels set forth by the Division of Drinking Water for both nitrate and total dissolved solids. Data indicates a pollution of nitrate and total dissolved solids and discharges from the pond system were not part of the original design nor authorized in the original permit and are currently occurring to groundwater. So the Division of Drinking Water has three maximum contaminant levels for total dissolved solids. 500 is the recommended, 1,000 is the upper limit, and 1,500 for the short term. Monitoring well 4 has exceeded the upper limit since 1998, so that's been for 16 years. And flow has tripled to the plant from 1987 to 1996. Monitoring well 2 has also exceeded the upper limit for total dissolved solids and is currently, these last two sampling events, exceeding the short-term maximum contaminant level. And it also shows an increasing trend. Monitoring well 2 also exceeded the nitrate maximum contaminant level in 2010. So in order to resolve this, we embedded a time schedule order in the monitoring reporting program that would add more wells and establish a background for water quality. The four existing wells provide inadequate coverage to evaluate the discharge and monitor compliance from the plant to the receiving waters, which is our groundwater. The time schedule order allows a 2-year time period to decide on the locations of the wells. to complete the installation and to document the installation in the form of a well completion report. The second portion that's also for time schedule is addresses the pond system upgrades. Ponds are subject to Title 27 requirements because the discharge does not meet basin plan water quality objectives, and the discharge is considered a designated waste. The time schedule is incorporated in the waste discharge requirements, and it allows the district to choose to line the ponds to meet Title 27 standards or to propose an engineering alternative. We have given 5 years in our time schedule order. The 5 years allows time to submit a feasibility study, to choose an alternative, to satisfy administrative requirements in the form of CEQA and a record of waste discharge, to begin, complete, and document the construction of the liners. Between the feasibility and the CEQA study, Water Board staff may need to evaluate what changes are needed. The order also rescinds the 1995 order and the two amendments. In order for the permit to be fully functional, recycled water delivery will be conditionally approved pending the approval from the Division of Drinking Water and a letter from the executive officer. This is also the first wastewater treatment facility for which groundwater data must be uploaded to our GeoTracker database. Staff recommends that the board adopt this order as proposed. Thank you for your attention, and I will accept any questions you have for me.
Any questions from the board? I did have one, Cephas. What is the groundwater TDS in that area? Not under the ponds, but in the general area.
Chair Cox, maybe to clarify, are you saying like from the salt and nutrient management plant?
Right.
I currently don't have that answer with me, and I would welcome anyone else to answer that question, but it's typically been pretty high.
Okay. So, Jay, do you have a number?
Thanks, Cephas. This is Jay Cass, Cephas' supervisor. Don't have the exact numbers here, but we do know, and the permit does make reference to, over time there's been increases in salt content in the vicinity of the plant. Some of the earlier data shows that it was less than 500 milligram per liter, which is the lower of the three-part standard that Cephas referenced.
All right, so it's only been monitored underneath the ponds. We don't know the...
Since the mid-late 1980s.
Okay. All right. I do have a speaker's card on this. Ron Smith, the interim general manager from Rosemont CSD.
Thank you, board members. I'd like to first thank your staff for the hard work that they've done over the years and working with our community to bring this to fruition. This is very needed in this community, especially with the drought and the adjudication that we're going through. And so I'd like to thank everybody, and I brought my engineering consultant and some of my staff members here if you have any questions for us today.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming. Are there any questions for Rosemont staff? We have none.
Thank you.
Motion would be in order.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the board order as presented.
Second.
From Dias and Pumphrey. Dr. Amy Horn?
Aye.
Don Jardine?
Aye.
Eric Sandel?
Yes.
Kimberly Cox?
Aye.
Carries.
Congratulations. Yes.
Good job.
Good job.
Very good job.
Yes. Yeah. And good job, Cephas.
Thank you.
That was a good project.
Great presentation, Cephas.
Yes.
Okay. I